Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio, that's what you're listening to. Thanks for tuning in. Ed Battagliano co-hosting with me this morning. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Good weekend for you.
Excellent weekend.
What's a bad weekend?
A bad weekend is when I have to do a lot of work around the house. Yeah. I did have some plumbing issues with a blockage in the kitchen sink in the wall somewhere. I was working on that. But you know what? I'm kind of known as a handyman.
Are you really? Taylor?
I can build anything. No, I'm not. I'm just the opposite. So
you'll never get a show on HGTV.
No.
Is that what you're telling me?
In fact, I had to, you know, with the blockage, I wanted to go get a snake, you know, to try to, and so I went to the pet store by mistake, and they just. No, I'm not that bad.
He'll be here all week, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Everybody always, you know, when they say they have a great weekend, that's good. But I just wonder what does a bad weekend look like? So a lot of housework.
You have to do a lot of stuff.
I know. Stuff you got to get done by Monday.
You know, like if my here's a bad weekend. Yeah. If I know my dad's coming to visit and we're getting the house in order because my dad is a former engineer. And so, like, he'll point out stuff that – And so that's a bad weekend because I'm going to be working like a dog, getting the house, trying to get it perfect for my dad's visit.
All right. Walker Wildman is our internet / Facebook guru. He does other things too, but that's what his main job is during this hour and a half. Walker, what are you going to be? Are you going to be posting everything today?
Yes, I'll be posting all of the stories that Fred Jackson of One News Now talk about, and we're also on Facebook Live, so you can watch the show on our Facebook page.
You can watch the show on. So Ed and I have to be careful.
That's right.
Yeah.
About how we present ourselves. Huh? Okay.
It means I got to suck my gut in for an hour and a half.
Hey, it really doesn't matter. Yeah.
And if you want to see Tim's golf hat, then you go
to Ivy Hat,
whatever you want to call it, to the Today's Issues Facebook page, and you can get that wonderful view there.
We finally determined last week what it was. It was either golf hat or
what's an Ivy Hat?
I don't know. I didn't know what it was called. Look it up. It's like this kind of hat right here.
Yeah.
Half a hat. That's what I call it, too. All right. Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News, is in studio with us. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. It's hard to follow you guys. You know, it really is.
Well, Ed's, you know, between Ed's housekeeping advice or house fixer. By the way, fixer-uppers in the news again, right?
Yeah, you were.
Chip and Joanna Gaines.
This is as a result of them being under fire because they happen to go to a church that preaches the Bible and what the Bible has to say about homosexuality. And
BuzzFeed, some website named BuzzFeed last week went after the Gaines family and their church because the pastor's has a teaching about homosexuality that's been around for 2,000 years.
Shocker!
I'm shocked.
Is consistent with the majority of teaching in the Christian community, and that is from the Bible, that homosexuality is a sin. The act of homosexuality is a sin. Well, BuzzFeed, they tried to out them, so to speak, the Gaines, and even though the Gaines had not said anything about this subject, they just do their show. But the BuzzFeed reporter went after them. So the, I guess Chip Gaines did a tweet over the weekend saying, please. No, in times of trouble, you'll find the Gaines family at church. So he took his family to church as they
and this is the church of the pastor that was under fire. So it was their way of saying.
But why was he under fire again? We say under fire.
The pastor, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, of course. Now the pastor's view, you know, in opposition to same-sex marriage and declaring that homosexuality is a sin. But then now the BuzzFeed article was drawing. fire to HGTV, and there were people calling for the Gaines show to be canceled because Chip and Joanna Gaines go to a church where the pastor preaches what the Bible says about homosexuality. Mm-hmm. That's where we are in this country, and that's the boldness with which these homosexual activists approach this issue. Well, you're just not even allowed to go to a church that preaches it.
I've got a theory about this. This kind of politically correct nonsense is one of the reasons at least Donald Trump was elected president.
True.
People are fed up
tired of being
with
called
this
names.
Nonsense. You know, yeah. That if, oh, you're a Roman Catholic, your church preaches against abortion.
Right.
We don't like you. You know, this is a
you
kind
You don't
of,
deserve to be a citizen.
Exactly. People are fed up with this nonsense.
The secular progressives are wanting to revoke our citizenship.
Yes.
Basically, kick us out of the country because you hold views that are different than theirs on moral issues.
In fact, they're asking that we be kicked out of the country and then a wall be built so we can't get back in.
And we have to pay for it.
we have to pay for the wall.
There was another story. You mentioned citizenship.
Yeah.
And it just triggered. There's another story last week. What was in Phoenix?
It was New Mexico.
Well, there was in Phoenix. There was two young ladies that are in the court system right now. They're Christians because
they're artists. They're drawing artists.
Yeah, they make cards. And they got in trouble because they didn't want to make cards. I guess invitation cards to a homosexual wedding.
Right. They were Christians.
Yeah, and then in New Mexico, a similar case with photographers, Christian photographers.
Where the judge in New Mexico said, if you in the wedding services part of that industry, it's a price, the price for citizenship, you must do gay weddings.
Yeah.
That's frightening language from a state Supreme Court judge.
Yeah, so we're going to, this is why... Donald Trump defeating Hillary Clinton was crucial to our protection of our religious liberties. Now, by that I mean the people that President Obama has appointed to the federal court over the last 8 years are totally against Christians being able to practice their religious freedoms as we've always known it in this country.
Right.
They want to... put us in jail, basically, if we don't bow the knee to the LGBT movement.
And speaking metaphorically, I mean, they want us excluded from public life.
Yeah, they'll put you out of business.
Right.
Well, President Obama's appointed judges who believe that. This is serious stuff here with us, you know. And so had Hillary Clinton won, she would have kept right on with that. And the Supreme Court would have been lost forever. And so, I mean, it was, as I said before, it's just we have a reprieve here, hopefully now Donald Trump will appoint pro-Constitution judges to the federal bench, including the Supreme Court. We'll see, but that's the promise that he has made. That's one of the reasons, that was the main reason that Christians voted for him in overwhelming numbers, was the Supreme Court. But anyway... So we'll see what happens, but these cultural stories are in the news every week, and we have the Fixer Upper show with Chip and Joanna Gaines. But HGTV has supported them, right, Walker?
Yeah, they've stood by the Gaines. Mm-hmm. They issued a statement that essentially said that we're not going to delve in and investigate the private views of people on our show. Host on our show.
Go to their church and
whatever
else
their private views are.
What
that's
else they going to disagree with? How they baptize people?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, where does it stop? Right.
Where does it end?
Right.
If HGTV was smart in this.
Yeah.
They were really smart in this.
I will say this, though, okay? There's still an obvious danger here because what HGTV is saying is basically the BuzzFeed article is off base. Because Chip and Joanna Gaines didn't say anything about same-sex marriage mm-hmm. or homosexuality. It was the pastor. Mm-hmm. So the implication to me is if Chip and Joanna Gaines ever do speak publicly, because mm-hmm. they still have not said anything about homosexuality, mm-hmm. even after all this is gone. If Chip and Joanna Gaines came out and said, we're opposed to same-sex marriage, we think homosexuality is a sin, I believe they'd lose their show.
Yeah.
That's wow. That is what I think. That's where we're at.
So
this
you
point.
Still have a chilling effect of. But
HGTV anyway. Officially said this is according to ToddStarnes.com, and he was the one who took the lead on this story. A spokesperson from HGTV said, quote, they respect the privacy of our show host and will not comment on matters related to their personal lives, end quote. So essentially, we're not getting in on this. This isn't our,
well, you know,
we just air their show.
It isn't like HGTV doesn't have LBGT all over their,
their yeah, yeah, their
some
lineup,
of the,
yeah.
some of their shows. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so far, I got to give thumbs up to Gaines family and their church and for handling this right. And Todd Starnes has done a good job reporting it. This is what happened with the Benham brothers, you know, before their show ever aired. But the Benham brothers had been outspoken in the marriage, the battle for traditional marriage in North Carolina, their home state.
Right.
And they'd been to pro-life rallies, so they had them on video.
Now, that was a show that they had a contract. And
with HGTV.
They had filmed, I think, a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
They were excited about it. In fact, when the news broke, when someone found out, quote-unquote, about their views and publicized it, HGTV initially said we're in full support of the Benham brothers. Then overnight, they flipped and canceled the show.
Yeah. So, but it's tougher to... You don't want to cancel a show, especially when it's the I guess the most popular show in your network.
Right.
It's easier to stop them before they ever get started, like they did with the Benham brothers. But we'll see what happens with this story. But along those lines, Fred.
Yeah. American Family Association's in the news today.
That's along those
lines. Mm-hmm. If you've just been listening to our newscast, if you go to onenewsnow.com right now, you can read about this story. And the background to it is this. Various states, the federal government, I believe, they have a program which allows employees, government employees, to tell their employer, hey, I want a certain amount of my paycheck to go to charitable organizations, specific charitable organizations that the employee picks. Well, what we learned last week was that the state comptroller in Connecticut, Kevin Lembo, has a problem with employees in that state giving money to the American Family Association.
Hey, folks, listen up to this story, okay? You're probably going to find this hard to believe. Go ahead, Fred.
Mr. Lembo has made it quite public. He is a homosexual.
He's the comptroller.
Yes.
For the state of Connecticut. He's an elected official there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the equivalent of a state treasurer in a lot of states. Okay, go ahead.
And he has decided that employees in that state should not be allowed to give money, their money from their paycheck, to the American Family Association because he does not like the stand that we have taken, for example, on the Target issue. And more broadly, where we stand on the issue of marriage. We stand for biblical marriage for this organization without apology. And we've been public on that for years.
Mm-hmm.
But now Mr. Lembo has decided he's investigating this, and to the point that if he has his way, likely employees in that state of Connecticut will not be allowed to contribute some from their paychecks.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have their religious freedoms taken away by this man, their freedoms that they want to exercise to contribute to the American Family Association.
We've never seen it. You know, we, like all other charities and nonprofits, if you're going to send fundraising letters into a state, any state, you have to register with the state, various state offices.
That's to keep crooks from mailing fundraising letters into a state like Connecticut.
It's a formality.
Yeah,
you have to tell them who you are. You know where your business is. A business, by that I mean where you operate out of. So that you say, Ed, the states want to prevent fraud, and so they want to make sure you're a legitimate charity, nonprofit. Now, AFA has been for almost 40 years now, registered with the IRS. And we're also a recognized charity in all 50 states by the state agency. So this is...
So we were already approved in Connecticut.
Yeah.
I mean, but recognized, this, I but, should well, say.
This guy, his name is L-E-M-B-O. He's the state comptroller of Connecticut. He's wanting to harass us, basically, here at American Family Association. And so he's lecturing us on state, official state letterhead.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
On what is a charity and what isn't, right?
And the, here's, yes, Tim. And
where can people read this, Walker? Read about this.
Well, you can go to onenewsnow.com. It's on the front page right now as the lead story. It'll be on our Today's Issues Facebook page. And then also Todd Starnes will be writing a piece, will be publishing a piece on this today.
And we will have an action alert later on today.
Can people see the actual letter from the state of Connecticut?
In our action alert, there will be a PDF link to the letter. And the action alert, folks, if you don't get our action alert, you need to get our action alert. You can go to afa.net, and on the right-hand side, you can subscribe to our action alert. And we'll keep you up to date on all this news as it breaks.
Listen. Here's the mentality of this state comptroller Kevin Lembo. His argument is basically that the state of Connecticut, gets to decide which charities' beliefs are approved. Okay, we're already there's no question we're a charity in the eyes of the federal government and all 50 state governments. We've been approved in Connecticut, but Lembo says, Kevin Lembo, I'll decide or the state will decide whether you are a charity and what you can believe mm-hmm. if you are a charity. I mean, that's extraordinary. To say only certain charities will be approved depending on what you believe, and the government has the right to peer into your beliefs and say those beliefs disqualify you from the rights and privileges that all the other charities have in the state of Connecticut.
Let me hasten to add here, and I speak as president of American Family Association here. That's who the letter was to me, wasn't it?
It was to you.
Yeah, it was to me. So for Mr. Lembo, L-E-M-B-O, again, he's the comptroller of the state of Connecticut, and he sends a letter, and he tells me that we've been approved, AFA has been approved, but he's opening up an investigation. Is that how he phrased it?
Yes, he is.
We're quoting
and
that.
He is demanding from us that we prove that we uphold all anti-discrimination laws, basically saying that we prove that our beliefs do not contradict the pro-homosexual laws that they have in Connecticut.
Right, or else.
Or else.
Or else.
And he mentions, and he basically says, I don't think you're really a charity. You don't really do charitable work. And he mentions what charity, you know, like environmentalists, you know, and I guess saving lost puppies or whatever else he might have in mind.
Environment. Yeah. What's a real charity in his eyes? But anyway, what makes this, I guess, Fred... I don't know what the right word is, historic. We've never got a letter from any governmental agency, state or federal, on state letterhead.
Unprecedented.
On government letterhead, where the officer, in this case, the comptroller of the state of Connecticut, official state letterhead, his letterhead, basically... going after us because of our Christian view on mm-hmm. homosexuality.
Yeah.
And we've warned this kind of thing was going to happen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And people have made fun of us and said, oh, you're just a little boy crying wolf. Mm-hmm. No, these kinds of things are going to happen. It's really what happened with Chip and Joanna Gaines. We talked about this earlier last week.
Exactly.
This is the same thing, except it involves the government.
Yes.
Coming after,
which I would argue is more serious.
Yeah, because they have the heavy hand of, in this case, the state government. Now, for all practical purposes, we get very little money from employees of the government of the state of Connecticut. That's what this is in reference to. But it's the principle of the thing here.
Well, and that's part of the mentality that we have seen on a number of fronts over the last couple of years, especially. It's a witch hunt. It's a witch hunt against biblical Christianity. Not only is it a witch hunt against American Family Association, but it's also taking away the religious freedom of those employees in the state of Connecticut who say, I want a portion of my money This is not this is not state money. This is the money these employees have earned. And they're saying to those employees, you don't have a right to take some of your money and designate it to the American Family Association. It is the same mentality that we saw in play by the mayor of Houston, Texas, when she subpoenaed the sermons of pastors in that city because they were opposed to something that she wanted to do. So that's where we are today. And again, Mr. Limbaugh has stated publicly that he is a homosexual.
Yes.
So these are homosexuals
with a personal grudge,
with an activist mentality saying, I'm going to use my power of my office to punish someone who is opposed to what I believe.
You know what the irony of this is? I can't believe this gentleman, Limbaugh, doesn't recognize this. You know, the whole idea of the separation of church and state in this country comes from a Supreme Court ruling that quoted a letter written by the Danbury Baptist, that's Danbury, Connecticut, Baptist Association to then President Thomas Jefferson, saying we are worried about the government coming after us because we're not an approved religious order. Okay, I think the Episcopalians, maybe Anglican, was the state church at the time. Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter back to the Danbury Baptist Association and said, you don't have to worry. There is a wall of separation. That's where the phrase comes from, this letter. But what Jefferson was saying is there is a wall that protects churches from government action, from the government looking into your beliefs and taking action against you as a result of that. Of course, progressives in this country use that phrase to say, Christians, stay out of the public square. Completely warped the meaning of Jefferson's phrase. But now we have the state of Connecticut, represented in this particular instance by Kevin Limbaugh, saying to American Family Association that the government is allowed to dictate to religious charities what they can believe if they want to participate in the public square. This is just extraordinary. It's ironic, of course, that this is happening in Connecticut because of what happened a couple hundred years ago.
All right, Fred, what else you got? We got 1 minute.
Yeah, the other big news today is that Donald Trump has nominated Dr. Ben Carson to head up the,
I, for one, applaud that move.
To be HUD Dr. Secretary.
Housing and Urban Development.
Yeah, and we know the character of Dr. Carson. He's a brilliant man.
Right.
We know his background came up through a very poor, poor situation when he was growing up.
But in inner city Baltimore.
City Baltimore, but his mama encouraged him. And I think the story is that she couldn't read, but she made her sons learn to read, go to the library. Mm-hmm. He is, with the help of God, a self-made success story. Right. He stands against the government being overly involved in people's lives. You know, it's amazing. One of the reactions that I saw in the mainstream media this morning, and President-elect Trump made the announcement on Twitter this morning at 5
4
o'clock.
Yeah.
4 a.m. or something like that. He's going to be an interesting president. But, you know, the opposition right away said, well, Dr. Carson has never lived in federally subsidized housing. With the implication from that statement is he can't be HUD secretary because he doesn't know what it's like to live there. Well, since when is that a qualification? Yeah. Let's look at all the secretaries from all the portfolios. Mm-hmm. Dr. Carson understands what it's like to grow up in a poverty situation, but also to pull yourself out through hard work.
Yeah.
And that's
exactly
what really bugs people.
Yeah.
Right. But what a great choice by President-elect Trump.
All right. Thank you, Fred. OneNewsNow.com, right?
OneNewsNow.com.
All right. Now, thanks to Fred Jackson. And we shall return momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues, the new administration continues to take shape, and there are also changes coming for the other side.
There are over 20 Democrats in the Senate that are facing a tough re-election.
Right.
And so can you imagine if even 10 of those get switched in 2018?
That's next time on Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
We are going to the Holy Land in March. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. I only lead one tour a year to Israel. It's not my day job. It's just an annual tour that I do as I learn from my dad how to take folks to Israel. And we're going to have a wonderful experience. Most of the folks going are listeners to American Family Radio, are supporters of American Family Association. And we're going to have a great time March 9th through the 17th. If you want information on this tour of the Holy Land, you can do it two ways. You can call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5. 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5. That's families with an S. And leave us your name and your address, and we'll put a brochure in the mail to you. And if you want to go online, you can visit us at twholyland.com. twholyland.com. Again, won't be long till we close out this tour, so if you want more information, let us know.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. Connecticut's openly gay comptroller is investigating American Family Association because of their defense of traditional family values. Kevin Limbo fired off a bizarre letter accusing AFA of possibly violating the regulations governing charitable giving for state employees. In a nutshell, Mr. Limbo is suggesting one of the nation's most respected Christian ministries is anti-gay. He said he finds himself troubled by the organization's traditional positions on marriage and family. And that includes AFA's highly successful boycott of Target over their bathroom policies. Target allows men who identify as women to use the bathrooms and changing rooms of their choice. Now, it seems to me the reasonable response from AFA is to tell Connecticut's openly gay comptroller to take a flying leap. But that man controls the purse strings and could prevent state employees from donating to the American Family Association. It's a classic case of anti-Christian bigotry. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano, Walker Wildman. You can listen to us anywhere in the world on the internet at AFR.net. You can also download the app on your smartphone or other mobile device, and they have an app for American Family Radio. It's free. It takes you about 1 minute to download it, and then you can listen on your phone or your computer or your laptop or your iPad. So check that out. Well, not your laptop. A laptop wouldn't have apps.
Laptop,
right?
Just go to AFR.net on your laptop.
Just go to AFR. All right, Walker, what do you got? By the way, Todd Starnes' commentary right there was about what we just discussed.
In Connecticut, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you got on Facebook for us?
Well, I have the story that Fred and that Todd just mentioned in his commentary about the Connecticut State Comptroller coming after your AFA.
You posted it on our Facebook page?
Yes, Today's I posted Issues? The One News Now story on the Today's Issues Facebook page. And we're also Facebook Living it, so if that's good,
you know,
English
Tim,
there.
I know we want to revisit that story, but this just in a more general sense, this is why we continue to encourage our supporters and those who listen, those who read our material that we send out. We have to make sure that Christians remain salt and light in this culture, because despite the reprieve we have gotten politically, this culture war continues, and in some ways, it will only ramp up as the other side gets more and more angry. And so Christians need to remain salt and light. They need to remain faithful to bear witness.
And involved in politics.
And involved in politics and involved in preaching the gospel. Christians cannot take a vacation here.
Yeah, these Christians, our brothers and sisters who say politics, you know, we shouldn't be involved in politics. Well, I tell you what, folks, when they come want to shut down your church, then you're going to say, Tim, why aren't people involved in politics?
Right.
Okay. What we're warning you about is really happening in our country, and the threat to religious liberty and our way of life as we've always known it is under siege, and it's only going to get worse. So if we the people that can, when you say Christians should stay out of politics, you're talking, what you're saying is that we should obey the government, but we should not be involved in government. Now, how much sense does that make? The same people who say, you know, Romans 13 teaches us as Christians we need to submit ourselves to governing authorities and pray for those in leadership, and that is true. I paraphrase there. But how can you tell me we need to obey Romans 13 and then tell me, but we need to make sure that the people who are in charge of us are pagans only?
Right.
Yeah.
Huh? Right.
Because government can either be a force for good or a force for evil.
Right.
And you see that all throughout history. And as Christians, we need to make sure that the government we are living under that we can influence is a force for good and
Amen.
Not for evil.
Amen. Jeremy Wiggins in with us. Jeremy's here every Monday this time. Jeremy, good morning to you.
Good morning, gentlemen.
What's your radio show that's on Saturday mornings and what time?
It's called In the Trenches, bright and early Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. Central
Time.
Now,
do you get up and come up here and do that live and show up dedication?
Tim, that is a trade secret. I can't tell you.
I'll take that as a no.
you are allowed to infer whatever you would like from that. But let's just say I don't get upset when people don't get up and listen to it live Saturday mornings at 6, which is why you can download it.
You've developed a pretty good group of listeners there.
We do. We've got some great listeners who are up at that time. God bless them. Every Saturday mornings at 6. I'm usually up at that time anyways, but I have small children. Yeah. So
you have no choice.
I have no choice. I am awake at that time on Saturday.
But I will tell you this, it is a great day when they're old enough to get up and go turn on Saturday morning cartoons.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, and even get their own cereal.
Yeah, get their own cereal.
We learned a long time ago to have a box of Pop-Tarts on standby. That way they don't even have to go in the fridge.
Right.
Jeremy, I think Michelle Obama outlawed those. You might want to check there. You may have just tipped yourself off to the food police.
We make sure we keep the Pop-Tarts next to the extra sugary fruit drinks that don't contain actual fruit.
The federal food police.
Yes.
Boy, another 4 years of Hillary Clinton, we might have had that.
We would have had that. What do you got for us today?
You can want your Pop-Tarts and keep them if you want them. You can keep your Pop-Tarts if you want them. Lie. I'm sorry. I had to. One last thing. I'm sorry. Go ahead,
Jeremy. Your Pop-Tarts, you can keep your Pop-Tarts. That's what you're trying to say.
That's what I meant.
Okay.
Well, what I've got today is an interesting story. You know, I think it's fairly safe to say that we all pretty much assume that we're being watched on some form or another, whether it's third-party companies who are tracking your online activity or, you know, Google pretty much knows everything that you're doing whenever. But what about
there's a drone that's following my car. So, you know, I know what you're talking about.
Well, what about local police organizations? What about local police officers? There's a story out from the LA Times. To give some background information, there's a lot of hassle these days when you're trying to buy cough syrup, right? I mean, you can't buy cough syrup and cough drops and Tylenol in the same shopping cart. Or I think the FBI automatically comes to your house and kicks your door down these days because of the abuse that's going on with these pharmaceuticals. Well, one pharmacy in LA known as the Creative Compounding Pharmacy, I don't know where they get the name from, but they kept getting burglared. They kept getting robbed. And so the local police officials decided to put a GPS tracking device in a bottle of cough syrup. Now, that bottle of cough syrup sat on the shelf until, interestingly enough, the pharmacy was robbed again, and they stole that bottle of cough syrup, which led the police right to the door of these two guys who robbed the pharmacy. But that raises the interesting question about an invasion of privacy. Do they have the right to track you indiscriminately because they had no idea that it was going to be robbers who were going to come and get this bottle of cough syrup?
Right. Could have just been a mom with sick kids.
Yeah. So does the government and by extension police agencies have the constitutional right to indiscriminately tag you or a product that you purchase and then track you? And I wanted to get your guys' opinions on this because in this—
Seems like they would have to have a warrant.
It does seem like they would
have to
have a warrant.
They even have to place the GPS
But apparently, according to the LA Times, this has been going. This goes on all the time. Anything from bikes to Air Jordan tennis shoes. The boxes have GPS trackers in it, and so you purchase this product unknowingly. You could be tracked by a local police agency, even though you've done absolutely nothing wrong. And there's no paper trail. There's no warrant.
I'll say the day that an innocent person gets their cough syrup from the pharmacy and they find the GPS device in there, that's going to be a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Yeah.
And whichever agency placed the GPS device in there better watch it.
Yeah. You know, I have discovered, you know, here in the last several years, just the power of, you know, the internet to track every move. In fact, this just happened just recently. I was on Amazon.com. I was looking at a book, thinking about getting a book. I'm a little bit of a nerd. A book about Julius Caesar. Okay, so it was $25.
I said, well,
I'm going to wait. Yeah. So the very next day, I was on some website. I don't even know what it was. I think it was a hockey website. And, you know, they have the ads on the side, and there was an ad, an Amazon ad for this Julius Caesar book, the same one. And I was thinking, I'm thinking, wait a second, just how popular is Julius Caesar?
I know what
then
you're
I
saying.
Realized they knew I was on the website, and they were pitching. Amazon had paid them, I guess, to pitch to me this book because it reminded me of this book. So just about every move is being tracked. Now, if you go on a website, you're going to get tracked, and your visit there is going to wind up, somebody's going to try to sell you something as a result. I'm not sure that there's anything wrong with if a company has an agreement or a store has an agreement that its product is going to be tracked. I think that's fine as long as the customer knows it.
Yeah,
and these stores should tell you these products are tracked in order to prevent shoplifting or crimes being committed. They can be tracked, just as you go into a particular business and there's a sign there that says video surveillance on premises.
Right.
So as long as customers know, what I don't like is when we're not told.
Exactly.
And then the cops show up at your door.
Right.
I didn't even know this, but in some states, you can't buy more than like two cans of spray paint.
Well, you know, we've got the crud going around my house. And if you're from the South, you know exactly what medical illness that is, the crud. Right. If not, that's sinus congestion and stuff. But I went to a local store to buy some NyQuil, and I asked them, I said, you know, am I allowed to buy such and such together? Because I've heard people say they couldn't buy cough drops and cough syrup at the same time because
for drugs.
Yeah, and that's
purposes.
exactly why the Tustin Police Department said that they did this is because they're worried about it being turned into what's being called Sizzurp, which is cough syrup mixed with Mountain Dew and a Jolly Rancher that gives a certain narcotic effect.
Well, our listeners are thanking you for telling them, explaining to them exactly
that is
how to create a drug.
So you're telling me now we've moved beyond crystal meth?
Yeah, and methamphetamines.
We got some other kind of mix.
I didn't know we'd moved past that there marijuana. Crystal meth?
Yeah,
I thought she was an actress on Dallas years ago. I'm sorry.
Here we go. It just keeps going.
No, but that's you hear these scare stories of people buying product A, B, and C.
Grandma buying product.
Grandma, and then they call the cops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the cops show up because they think that she's got a crystal meth.
Have you ever read? Have you ever read? I know I got two half sentences going on there. I know, fill in the blank. But the ingredients in crystal meth, you read, and I don't mean to make light of
are
this.
Those printed on the back of the box?
I was just gonna say, where would you?
You can go on the internet, and which you can find anything.
Oh yeah, you can. You can learn how to make a nuclear device.
It's not hard to find the ingredients for crystal meth. And you just wonder, who put these things together to start with? I mean, it's like battery acid.
It's kind of bizarre, the interaction.
Someone with too much time on their hands.
Yeah, well, who's the first one to try it?
That's what I'm saying.
I thought the same thing about marijuana. Like, who picked up this random plant and said, you know what? I'm going to roll this up in paper and light it on fire.
If you look at the you look at the concoction that is crystal meth and you go, who thought of this? How did you ever come to this? It is, I don't mean to make light of it at all. Mm-hmm. It's a very serious problem. And I've heard it's the most addictive drug out there. Traditional myth I'm talking about. You're listening to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. And you got these stories Jeremy just talked about posted at our website?
I do. I posted the story. I chose Breitbart News that has a story, cough syrup with GPS tracker helped police catch alleged.
So you're not making that up, Jeremy.
Nope, I am not. And, I have to wonder, too, is it the bottle or the liquid that's got the GPS in it? Because I would sure hate to swallow that.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Well, that's bizarre. I got to tell
you. I'm sure it's the bottle, but you catch what I'm saying.
Packaging somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got one more story?
I do. Interesting one coming out of Texas. For our listeners may be aware that in Texas, new abortion rules have been instituted where any baby who has been aborted must either be buried or cremated. This is new rulings that have just been instituted by the Texas Health and Human Services Department. One group, though, is fighting it based on the grounds of that it violates their religious freedoms. Anybody take a care to guess at what group that is?
Planned Parenthood.
Nope.
ACLU?
The Satanic Temple.
Hmm.
They are stating that forcing women to bury or have cremated aborted fetuses violates their First Amendment rights because, quote, burial rights are well-established component of religious practice and thus goes against religious freedom rights afforded to citizens by the First Amendment. So the Satanic Temple is against the burying or cremation of aborted babies.
So the child is protected under the First Amendment. The unborn child is protected under the First Amendment.
Which would mean it would have to be a person?
Right, which means they're a U.S. citizen if the Constitution applies to them. So why don't we just let them live?
Thinking along the lines of...
I think you're overthinking this, Walker. That is far too logical.
Well, some people, like Hillary Clinton, said that unborn babies have no constitutional rights, which is interesting. Is this a person? That's really what it comes back down to. We believe that this is a human being made in the image of God. And that to kill this person is a sin. It's murder.
Should be illegal.
Yes, and it should be illegal, 100%.
Right.
The Satanic Temple, however, disagrees. And, well, I mean, and I think, you mentioned some of the groups earlier. They're probably hand in hand a lot more than we would care to admit, groups like Planned Parenthood.
The Satanic Temple has their standards.
They all work for the same person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're right.
All right. Thank you, Jeremy. And where can people find information about your show on Saturday?
Facebook.com/AFR In The Trenches. All one word.
In The Trenches with Jeremy Wiggins. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Jeremy Wiggins stops by on Monday morning, as he does each Monday. Appreciate that.
And an interesting story. People can read about it on Facebook.
Yeah, on today's issues Facebook page.
You got GPS being, this sounds like something out of a
science fiction.
Yeah. GPS being put in
your cough medicine
products. Yeah. Wow.
We're coming right to your home.
I got to say, it's pretty smart on behalf of law enforcement, though. I mean, if I was a law enforcement official, I'd want to do the same thing.
If stuff's getting stolen, you can go right to it.
Yep.
As long as the customer knows that that's what's going on. Of course, the business doesn't have an obligation to let you know. I just think it's smart business.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
and I'm not weighing in on a constitutional. I have no idea.
Either. I know,
it, but I know from a practical standpoint, if I'm a law enforcement official, and we got hundreds of robberies going on at pharmacies all the time, if you want to catch the guys, that's the way to do it.
Right. Yeah. And they did.
I mean, they've caught over 100 robbers using the same tactic in the Los Angeles area.
Well, who's opposed to this? Is the ACLU probably?
Well, I don't know if Jeremy mentioned anyone who's legally opposed to it right now.
Yeah.
People have their own opinions.
The world, it is a-changing.
All right, you're listening to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this show you're listening to on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Tagliano and Walker Wildman. We have a Facebook page for this show, Today's Issues Facebook page, and we have a lot of the stories that we talk about, we link there, we post there, so you can have access to them yourself. Also, we live video stream the show from the studio if you want to watch that there. All right, do you want to welcome our next guest, Ed?
Well, yeah, absolutely. We want to welcome Teddy James, who is a writer for the AFA Journal, also heads up Engage, our outreach to millennials. and Engage. TJ, welcome to the program, and tell our listeners, Engage has something very important going on this week.
Absolutely. One, I appreciate you guys having me on. It's always a pleasure. But this week, we are doing our Orange Letter campaign. Now, last year, we did an Orange Letter campaign that coincided with the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. This week, we wanted to... We kind of had to push it back just a little bit and into December just to get everything lined up, because this year we are sending letters to Christians in Syria. Now, if you're unfamiliar with what's happening in Syria, there's been a civil war going on there for 7 years. There's a bunch of different factions and a bunch of different countries involved, including America. America is fighting there. Russia's fighting there. Assad has forces there. ISIS has forces there. So it's this huge just battleground everywhere, and everywhere that Christians turn, nobody is really friendly to Christians out there. And so every area, no matter where they turn, their churches are being bombed, they're being burned to the ground, Christians are being crucified, being beheaded, and we're talking children are being crucified in Syria.
Right.
And what we have is an opportunity to write letters to these Christians and say, hey, we have heard your story. We are praying for you. We stand with you. We love you and we encourage you. And so there's really easy. Here's the thing. We're not asking for a dime out of anybody. We have all of that stuff covered. All we want is a letter from you sent to orange@afa.net. orange@afa.net. Now, here's what's really cool. Two things. One, there's a church here in America. It's an Arab-speaking church. They are receiving the letters, and they're going to translate them into the heart languages of the Christians in Syria. Two, underground church leaders, pastors, are sneaking across the border. I can't say when, but they are going to sneak across the border.
What border? And,
the Syrian border. And they're going to meet with some of our partners who will hand deliver each one of these letters to these church pastors. And then the pastors are going to smuggle them back across the border into Syria and distribute them among the churches. So it's an incredible opportunity.
This is a great way for Christians in this country to reach out to their brothers and sisters, Christians in Syria, who are being engulfed not only by this civil war, but the outright demonic persecution from ISIS, maybe some other factions too, radical Muslims that are murdering
absolutely
Christians.
And the thing is, there's a story that we have,
and they feel forgotten. These Assyrian,
they really
do.
They
Syrian
have no
Christians.
Idea that we know what's going on.
Right.
There's one group. There's a really small congregation that's underground, and they decided, okay, the borders in Syria are about to close. Now, this was a couple years ago. They said the borders are about to close. We need to decide if we're going to stay or if we're going to flee to a refugee camp across the border. And they said, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to separate for a week. We're going to pray. We're going to fast. And every individual has to make the decision for themselves. They came back. Now, that was 15 people in this room. They left. They came back. There was 25 of them. They grew in the midst of this persecution. And every one of them said, we're going to stay. And if God calls us to be a martyr, we will face that with faith. And so they pulled their money together, and they bought a plot of land that was only a few blocks away from this church. And they said, this is our graveyard.
Wow.
When we die, this is where we will be buried. We are worshiping together. We will be buried together. What's amazing is that graveyard is still empty.
Mm.
So God is active. And that little church has continued to grow. And they have seen, you know, all the Muslims from all the different stripes come and worship Christ together because now they're believers.
Folks, there are a lot of things going on in this country that are unpleasant, that are unjust. We will continue to make sure you understand those things. I know you got to go, TJ, because you have an interview. But before you go, for those Christians who are listening and saying, wow, that is some heavy-duty stuff that our brothers and sisters are going through in Syria— how do they write this letter that will get translated and will get delivered to a Christian? Who knows? God will know who will get your letter.
But absolutely.
How do people do this?
All right. So all you have to do is write an email and send it to orange@afa.net. orange@afa.net. Now, we do have a couple of things that we request from you. These are going to be translated by people, not software. Mm-hmm. So keep your letter under 150 words.
Okay.
All right. So don't write a novel. But you know what? Include your name, where you're from, a piece of scripture, and then write out a prayer of encouragement. And you're done. If you go to engagemagazine.net, there's an article up called Orange Letter Campaign Syria. I've got examples from last year's letters, some of the people that had written in, just so you can kind of see, here's what a letter can look like. Mm-hmm. So you can read that. I've also got the links there that you can do. So yeah, send in your letter. And one of the things that we had last year that I thought I found just so encouraging, there was a Sunday school class of 4 and 5 year olds, and they couldn't write, but they heard the story and they said, "We want to do something. What can we do?" So they colored pictures. They drew pictures and colored them, and then their teacher took photos and sent it in to orange@afa.net. Wow. So even if you can't write, you can do something to encourage.
orange@afa.net.
That's it. All
right. Thank you, TJ.
All right, thank you, guys.
You can TJ. Also, on our if you're a Facebook fan, you can go to our Facebook page, and I've shared the Engage magazine post, which is the article's titled "Orange Letter Campaign Syria."
All right, what a wonderful project to participate in. We did this last year, and
it's so simple. And I can't imagine if you're in that war-torn country, and there is the constant threat that you or your family member can be murdered, martyred in the most horrific ways. To know that there are Christians outside your country who know what you're going through, who are praying for you, and who have taken the time to write something to encourage them. This is a simple yet, I think, biblical way, New Testament way, to support our brothers and sisters and to give encouragement, because we can't get there physically. We can't call them up. We don't know who these people are. But these pastors, these Syrian pastors, they do know. And they're going to hand these letters out. And,
you know what I'd like to see the Trump administration do is facilitate allowing these Syrian Christians to come to America.
Yeah, if they want to come. Yeah.
As religious persecuted refugees.
Right.
We have a refugee program now. We always have for people who are persecuted because of their faith or because of their politics, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's in the
asylum. They request asylum.
That's in the tradition of our country to do that. Now, what's complicated things is, the Syrian refugees are mostly Muslim. And Donald Trump has rightly pointed out, we can't let jihadis in here.
Right.
There's not jihadis in Christianity. Jihadis are in Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to, in this day and age of terrorism, we've got to be careful about who we let into our country. But I'm just saying there are sects, S-E-C-T-S, in the world, especially in the Middle East, where we know Christians are, who are being persecuted for their faith because they're non-Muslims. Now, some of these, ISIS, they'll persecute you or kill you because you're not their particular brand of Islam.
Right.
They'll go after other Muslims because they're not, they're not devoted enough.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or something of that nature. So anyway, we'll see what happens with that refugee program. But that I do think it's, President Obama's brought in. Let me ask you this. Do you understand how this works exactly? Does the president have unilateral authority to bring in refugees from around the world?
Well, that would come through the State Department. I think the president could, issue, guidelines to the State Department.
I think they can just place these people anywhere they want to in the country,
I believe that Congress sets kind of a parameter.
Okay.
And then hands it over to the president, and he can kind of do with it what he wants.
Well, we'll check that.
And yeah,
when we come back from the break, we'll
check that, because you hear about the Somalis are all placed in Minnesota.
Once they've been granted permission to come, the State Department, the federal government, the executive branch can put them wherever they want.
And then they sort of, develop their own cities, their own areas. You know what I'm saying? They don't do a very good job of integrating them into our greater America.
We'll have an official answer after the break.
We'll be back after the news. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.